From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. Back in the early 80s, Minneapolis was the alt-rock capital of the United States, and Kevin Cole had a front-row seat for bands like The Replacements, Husker Du, and of course, Prince. So back in the day, Kevin Cole, who's now Senior Director of Programming at Seattle's music station KEXP and host of the afternoon show from 2 to 6. Back in the day, this is one of the best things I know about you. You were the house DJ at Minneapolis's First Avenue. It was a bus depot that turned into a music club. And anybody who saw Purple Rain knows it was prominently featured in that movie. You were the DJ there. How did that happen?
I was the DJ there for 14 years, and it was an amazing experience to be right there and to watch it all happen before, like, The Replacement started and before Husker Du and Prince and all that. And that happened for me. I always loved music, had an interest in music in college, got a kind of a mixed degree in basic social sciences and radio broadcasting, mostly because I love music, wanted to do music. There weren't music radio stations at that point in time that I was interested in going to and playing music I didn't like. So I got to go. I got hired at this place at the time called Uncle Sam's, and it was kind of a Saturday Night Fever style disco that was on its last legs. You know, disco was over. This is like 78-ish, 79-ish maybe. And they knew something was changing, and I got hired. I have no idea why Steve McClellan, the guy who ran it for years, hired me.
To move him away from disco?
Oh, totally.
Yeah, yeah.
Totally. So, I was the person that had to make that transition.
Well, you'd been a college DJ, so you knew about being a radio DJ, but that's really different than playing for a live audience.
Totally different. And especially for me, at that point in time, I was more of kind of a punk rock kind of I love the Ramones and the Talking Heads and Television and Patti Smith. And suddenly, you know, here I had a job in this kind of suburban, although it was very urban, it was downtown, but kind of mainstream disco. But man, we just totally changed it. Went from Uncle Sam's to Sam's to First Avenue. It was a transition that took a couple of years, but then it became the premier venue for music. And it was different DJing club music and dance music, but at the same time, three or four nights of a week, we would have bands play, and everybody played from, you know, the first four times U2 played in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, St. Paul, they played there. And, you know, everybody from U2 to REM to all the independent bands to artists like Sun Ra and Tina Turner. So it was an incredible music education.
Now, I just totally associate First Avenue with Prince.
Yes.
How did he come into that circle?
So Prince really was, you know, he's a Minneapolis artist, and he started hanging out at the club when it was still Sam's. And his first album was kind of a Stevie Wonder light kind of record.
Right.
And then he went rock. You know, he had this incredible transformation. And at about that time, he started hanging out at the club, and I'd see him. And he'd come down.
Guy in purple with high heels, that guy?
Not yet.
Not yet, okay.
Not yet. He was young, and he was making this musical transformation himself and finding himself as an artist. And, we booked him when it was still Sam. So this was 1980, and it was right around the time of the second album. And the second album was the one that was just called Prince, the blue one, if people remember that one. It was kind of a funky jam. And then the next one was Dirty Mind, which had Uptown on it. And he just sort of made this radical change. And he found First Avenue, or Sam's at the time, to be the place that he connected with and had his first real audience that embraced him. And he was all about inclusion, right? In the song we just heard, there's a line that says, white, black, Puerto Rican, everybody just a freaking. That's what he wanted. He had a vision. His idol was Jimi Hendrix, and it was Jimi Hendrix meets Sly Stone.
Was he an instant audience sensation, or did even Prince have an off night back in the early days?
I saw him probably about 50 times, so I was lucky then to become his his personal DJ, so I got to DJ all of his private parties, and he would play at First Avenue all the time. I never saw him have an off night, no, but he didn't have an audience at first, and he was sort of playing these sort of North Minneapolis clubs, and I don't think he was feeling like he was understood, and it wasn't until this pivotal show at First Avenue, or Sam's at the time, that he really connected and found, I think, again, the white, black, Puerto Rican, everybody, just a freaking audience. And I remember I saw it. That was the first time I saw him. I'd heard he was great, but hadn't heard him.
Yeah.
Saw it, was so blown away, and I walked backstage to talk to him. And he was sort of in a chair, kind of not really slumped down, but he was just sort of relaxing. And he was so introverted and shy, but he had just gotten off stage playing in his underwear, basically. I mean, it was like the freakiest thing. I was like, man, that was the greatest show I've ever seen. He's like, thank you. Yeah, like really quiet, kind of a Michael Jackson-y kind of soft voice. And, you know, extroverted, introverted, insane.
Yeah.
And he expressed himself through his music.
KEXP afternoon DJ and senior director of programming, Kevin Cole, is my guest, talking about his early days back in Minneapolis. So he obviously was a fan of yours, too. He invited you to be the DJ at many of his parties, including his 30th birthday party. What was that like?
So DJing his private parties was amazing. I loved him. From that first time I saw him, it sort of changed my life, too. I just was so blown away by how incredibly talented he was and uplifting and how he connected with an audience that I became a huge Prince fanatic. And so it was just an incredible honor and a privilege. The first thing I did for him was a private party right around the second album. And it was in a warehouse in the warehouse district of Minneapolis, which at the time was kind of a scary, isolated area of town, like, you know, before those places got developed and turned into groovy restaurants and stuff. And I just remember thinking, man, this is so cool. You know, like, I mean, I was a DJ, so I was like, I wasn't able to really socialize. I was working it. But, you know, he was just do what you want. You know, he loved the music I played.
He wasn't real directive on the playlist. It was like, Kevin, just do what you always do.
Well, yeah, basically. Although he would always come up to me and he'd flip through the records and he'd pull out the ones that he kind of wanted to hear at some point, and they were always his. They were always his, or something that he was producing or working on, or it was Parliament Funkadelic or something, you know.
Now, did you get to know him and your audience? Did you know, if I play this, he's going to be up dancing?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, what were the songs that would get him up dancing?
Well, they were his own.
His own. Always his own.
But what was really interesting about it is First Ave was a double-decker kind of club, and it had a balcony that wrapped around, and it got to a point where he would bring me records to play that he was working on, and he'd bring acetates. Like one night I was DJing, and I just felt somebody tap me on the shoulder. I turned around, looked down. It was Prince. And he was amazing, just visual, right? Because he's tiny, and, you know, he was always dressed really maxed out like nobody in Minneapolis. And he had a bodyguard who was a wrestler. His name was Chick. He was like 7 feet tall and, you know, looked like a blonde surfer dude. Total muscle guy, would be wearing either a tank top or a tuxedo. Uh-huh. And so he asked me to play this song, and he was just holding an acetate. Would you play my record? And, of course, was excited to do that. And when I did, he ran down, stood in the middle of the dance floor, danced, listened to it. What he was doing was really hearing how people were reacting to it and hearing how it sounded on a different system.
Yeah.
But he loved music, and he loved to have fun, so that was what drove him.